Let us open our Bible on the Gospel of St. John, chapter 19, verses 19 to 30. Oh, I should say verses 30 to 37. 30 to 37. Chapter 19 of the Gospel of John. And we'll be focusing on this great statement that was voiced by our great Redeemer on verse 30. So we will read from verse 30 to 37. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the bodies should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth, so that you may believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, that one of his bones shall be broken. And again, another scripture says, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Let's pray. Lord our God, would you please open the eyes of our understanding with the mighty help of your Holy Spirit, that the significance of this great voice of victory that was uttered by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, "It is finished," must be the center and focus of our thanksgiving and praise, because without that sacrifice, our sin would not have been dealt with, and we are still the most miserable men on earth. And we are all subject to great loss eternally. But thank you, Lord, that you took this punishment. Our sins that deserve to be punished, you took them all for yourself. And we thank you that you showed your love for us. Help us to be thankful and to be humbled, to realize that it took you this great price, this great sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins. Forgive us, Lord, if we sometimes make this sacrifice as if it's a second-hand rate of truth, because it doesn't change our lives for long. And we keep remembering the pains and the hurts about the past, but the pains that you paid for our sin, overcome it, all those pains that we experience. But thank you that this sacrifice made that all acceptable in the Beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ. Please accept the praise and the thanksgiving of our hearts for the forgiveness of our sins because of this great victory that you have done for us. Help us to be forever thankful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I don't know about you, whether you know the significance of the great work of engineering in America. I don't know whether it was after the Great Depression period or before that, that the East and the West has been joined because of these great rail works that connected the East and the West. I want to look at that exact date, but it was hailed as a great engineering work because it does not only mean economic mobility of goods, but it was hailed as a great work, which was put in all the papers around United States, that it is finished. And to that great achievement, since then, America has been one of the most prosperous nations. However, 2,000 years ago also, on the border between heaven and hell, four spikes were driven down into the hands and feet of the Son of God. They were not gold, but of crude iron that tore the flesh of his hands and legs, and also his side. When those men had done their evil work, the words that came out victoriously, "It is finished," was said for our behalf, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19 records that truth. This cry was the sixth word that Christ spoke from the cross. To those who stood there that day, the word "it is finished" had many meanings to those who heard it at that point. Perhaps for every man that experienced that and witnessed it personally, it had a different meaning individually to them. To the soldiers, to the Roman soldiers who executed that plan, it was just like an ordinary work day, so that their job was finished and could be forgotten. It's like when you do your work day, you can just forget about it and rest. As compared to other hundreds of crucifixions they executed in the past. To Mary, the mother, the physical mother, without any physical union, it meant sorrow and grief, for her son was dead. We can identify with that, can't we? To Pilate, it meant that although his conscience would continue to accuse him, the threat of his authority was over, because Jesus was a threat to him, to his throne. To Ananias and Caiaphas, who were both members of the Sanhedrin and other religious leaders of his time, it meant that the threat to the establishment was also over. The undermining influence of this great religious innovator, our Lord Jesus Christ, according to their point of view, was finished. And they could return to the usual things of running the Supreme Court of Justice in Jerusalem. This is the status quo. To the crowd, it meant that the excitement of the day was done. And they could just return to their homes. Business as usual. To his enemies, it meant that this imposter was dead totally. And they could rejoice because, in many ways, he is a lot of pain to them. He is a killjoy to them because, especially to the spiritual leaders, because his name is not only becoming popular, but he is hailed as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. To his friends, including the disciples, it meant that the end of their hopes has finally finished. They had hope that he was the savior of Israel, but this was all dust out by now. It was the end of their hope. So, it is finished. To their point of view, they could go back to their fishing business and hide their disappointments from people. Not only Jerusalem, but back into Galilee, where they were originally chosen as fishermen and fishers of men. But at this point, this is not the crucial point of this event, but what these words meant to our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, "It is finished," and he cried it out in the presence of his heavenly Father in heaven. And it was not only heard by the witnesses at that time, it reverberated throughout the whole universe. That includes the angelic beings in the outer universe, wherever they are. What did that mean to the Heavenly Father as well? What do they mean? What is the significant meaning to the devout believer in our day? That includes us. Well, this should encourage us. The significance of the meaning of "it is finished" are profound truths. There are three profound significance because of three reasons. Because first, they are the words of a prophet. Because they are words of a prophet was one who had been called and commissioned by God to do a work. Such was the task of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Muslim world considered him only as a prophet, one of their prophets, but they did not recognize him as the greatest prophet. They only recognized Muhammad as the greatest prophet, which is a direct opposition to the truth of God's word. That's why they need to hear this good work, this good news. At the age of 12, our Lord Jesus Christ in the temple said, "Wish ye not know that I must be about my Father's business?" You can check this up in Luke 2, verse 49. To his disciples, he said, "My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work," according to the records that in John 44 relates that to us. Again, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." Again, the Apostle John indicated that in chapter 6, verse 38. In John's Gospel, to the whole John's Gospel alone, the Lord is spoken of as being sent, the sent one. In Gethsemane, he cried, "Father, not my will, but thine will be done." That is according to the record of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 42. Now, on the cross at this point in time, this prophet of God cries out, "It is finished." He said that with a sense of sorrow and yet a sense of victory for our behalf. He had completed the work that the Father had sent him to do. Praise God. That word, victorious statement of completing his work, it is finished. Now that should be an encouragement to us. If that is with condition, "It is finished," perhaps I must do more to show God I am a good person. That won't work. It is only to his finished work that our sin can be fully forgiven. Another truth of the significance of a prophet is that the prophet was also sent to speak for God, to reveal God's nature and plan and purpose and his character in relationship to simple men like us. This is what our Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ, had done throughout his life. He is obedient throughout his life. To Philip, he declared at one point in John 14:9, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Again, John wrote concerning him, "No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, he hath declared him." John wrote to us in John chapter 1, verse 18. No longer that man needed to wonder about God. All the truths, all the finished work that for the salvation of our soul, for the forgiveness of our sin, has been completed. So let us not be lingering around, complaining about God, reiterating in our sins. It is complete. It is finished. Christ has shown and testified about our Heavenly Father to be a God of love, who commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sins. Romans intimated that in chapter 5, verse 8. Now, on the cross, at this point in time, Christ, our Lord Jesus, He cries and voiced this encouraging word, this great achievement for our behalf. It is finished. A complete revelation was given. That's the whole Bible. Christ in the Old Testament is expected to reign. In the New Testament, he fulfilled all this. And we are now looking back to the truth. That is the expected Messiah. So a complete revelation was given to us, and we should be grateful that these records are before us today in the form of the Holy Bible. And praise God, he did not only say it, but he illustrated it by his victorious death through crucifixion. There's no other way whereby our sins can be forgiven. The second great significance to us as believers on the victorious statement of our Lord Jesus Christ, "It is finished," is that here on the cross, our Savior assumes the role of a priest, the priest of God, the great high priest. But there is a difference. It's not like those Old Testament tabernacle priests who offer the blood of the sheep and goats. But our great high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ, offered himself, his body, on the altar of Calvary. We should be thankful for that. Because there is no other person in this whole entire universe that can assume that sacrifice, because we are all sinners. The temple, Old Testament, tabernacle priests are sinners as well. So there is only one sinless sacrifice, which is our Lord himself, who is qualified, number one, because he's sinless. John the Baptist cried in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." What did he say next? "He must increase, and I must decrease." Well, that should encourage us, because when he said, "It is finished," we have everything prepared for us and done for us that should deepen our willingness to be sanctified in the most, in our most holy faith. A life that is worthy of the lifestyle of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think, and I believe that this should encourage us to be willing to submit and rededicate our lives to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Because there is no other thing we can add to that. It is all accomplished. It is all finished for us. And we must only submit to Him and accept Him by grace through faith. Now, He becomes the Lamb without spot at this point and without blemish. And according to the Bible, to the records of the gospel, we are not redeemed with corruptible things, such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Christ Himself. As the writer of Hebrews says, by His own blood, He entered in once in the most holy place. Hebrews 9:12 says. Another significant meaning of the word high priest to us is that this sacrifice is sufficient. There's nothing to be added to it. The blood of Jesus, our Lord, His Son, cleanses us from all sin, according to 1 John 1:7. Now Christ cried from the altar at this point in time, "It is finished." There is nothing that can be added to it. Even our most good work, our religious sacrifices, can add to it. There's nothing more needed for man's forgiveness and redemption. All we can do is open our hearts to Him and receive Him by faith. As our high priest, all the types in the Old Testament, the types, for example, as Isaac, who was offered by his father Abraham as a sacrifice, that's a type of Christ. The ceremonies that the temple or tabernacle priests, the Levitical priests, that they do constantly every day, the rituals and the sacrifices from sheep and goats for the sin offering, in behalf of themselves as priests and behalf of the families that sin against God, are now fulfilled and finished. Because the shed blood of every sacrificial lamb that the temple priests came to do, but now the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the real high priest, came to full fruition in His sacrifice. In other words, not only the Old Testament picture that when the Levitical priest offered the sacrifices like goats and sheep, it only alleviates or it removes God's anger for their sin. But they look forward to the final forgiveness of their sin when Jesus Christ came into this world. The scapegoat who bore the sins of the people found its fulfillment and fruitfulness, and is efficacious, is the word, effective application of His blood is once and for all applied to us. That's why whenever we sin, because that was done once and for all, whenever we sin, we don't have to go to the priest, of the Levitical priest, and offer sin offering. Jesus, the true Lamb of God, has done it once and for all by His precious blood. Isn't that a good encouragement for us? The priest offered his sacrifices, then had to do it again repeatedly, every day. I don't know how can I picture how many thousands a week of living sacrifices, animals, goats, and lamb. But our high priest offered himself once and for all for the sins of the world. That's a great contrast. The priest shed the blood of lambs, but our high priest shed his own precious blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And then, at that point in time when the Lord Jesus said, "It is finished," the veil of the temple was cut into two. God tore it down the middle so that man no longer needs any human high priest from the Old Testament to intercede for him. We come through our true high priest. We come boldly unto the throne of grace ourselves in the name of our high priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful truth, isn't it? What a significant truth that we should know this truth again and again because we forget as if that sacrifice is just a second-rate truth. But it should move us, actually, because there's nothing we can do, only him. It is finished. And then, finally, the great victorious statement of "it is finished" should encourage us because it is a voice of a king. It is coming from the voice of a king. The prophet Micah foretold Christ's kingship. In Micah 5:2, "But thou, Bethlehem, out of thee shall come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel." Now the Lord Jesus is on his throne. He refused the crowd who would have made him as a political king at this time in point. According to John 6, for his reign was not a political position, but a spiritual reign. He is reigning the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Good news for us. It should motivate us to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice and do his great work of service. God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. According to Philippians 2, verse 8 to 11. What is this name which is above every name? In Revelation 19, verse 16, answers the question. It says, it is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords exclaim victoriously, "It is finished." Is now our King eternal, our prophet and priest, who is speaking and praying on our behalf on the heavenly throne. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. In conclusion, Jesus Christ is our prophet and priest and king. Let us recognize him as such in our time of asking him is forgiveness and cleansing of our sin. Let us not assume, and let us not misuse by assuming that when we confess our sin, there's no more effort on our part to be like him. It is a conscious effort to ask him, to make him motivate us to live like him, and give him the honor and the glory that is due to his name. So, in the end, let us sing, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name." Oh, you sang that?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You sang that 493 then. Okay. Did you choose one?
No, the one you chose, Jesus
Baby. Okay. There's a recorded one.
Yeah,
let us sing, "All Hail the..." Well, we already sang, but this is the end point. That summarizes everything what I said. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of Lords. Amen.